You are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support this show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
It is Tuesday, May 17th, 2022. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the five-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, Tucker Carlson, Elise Stefanik, unbowed in the wake of replacement theory mass killing. Meanwhile, voters head to the polls. Primary day today, Pennsylvania, Kentucky, North Carolina, Oregon, Idaho. That's five or six. I feel like there's one more. Go vote! It's just five. I had them all. Finland formally seeks to join NATO. Sweden signs a request to join NATO. Didn't work out too well for Putin in that regard. $40 billion package advances in the Senate now that Rand Paul has got his name in the newspaper. Still, COVID relief languishes. Ukrainian military surrenders Mariupol. Bernie Sanders calls for banning super PAC money in primaries, essentially having the Democratic Party officially shun them to the extent that they can. That will have a great bearing on our conversations about the primaries that are happening today. FDA approves booster shot for Pfizer for 5 to 11-year-olds. While COVID deaths hit 1 million people. FDA and Abbott reach a deal to open the shuttered baby formula plant that had to be shut down because Abbott was just allowing a lot of bacteria in there. They will also ease baby formula import rules. Biden redeploys several hundred troops to Somalia. And the New York congressional maps are a mess. And some good news. If you're a CEO, your pay package has risen to record levels. So, some good news.
Yay!
All this and more on today's program. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. It is Tuesday, not Monday. Yesterday was Monday. We were off because we were all coming back from Boston. And here with me today, as always, Emma Vigeland.
It's Newsday Tuesday.
That's right. That's right. You were right on top of that.
Oh, yeah. I know. I'm a little bit more partial to that than hump day these days.
Well, there you go.
My new favorite child.
Well, you don't have to decide between them. Because they inevitably show up every week, both Newsday Tuesday and
Election Day Tuesday as well.
Yes, we should say, programming note, we're going to be doing live coverage tonight of the primary results starting at about 6:50 p.m. Eastern. We're going to be talking to Dave Weigel. Are we going to be talking to Bobby Bigwill? Okay, we'll see about that. And we will be doing some coverage of the primaries tonight, so join us then. Same way that you join us today. We're back from Boston. Just a couple of words about the show. It was amazing.
It was great.
It really actually was a tremendous amount of fun. We'll talk more about it in the fun half. But I want to thank everybody who came out. And I guess I can announce who our special guest was. It was Al Franken.
It was. He was excellent.
Al Franken was great. He happened to have been in town. Somebody guessed it, one IMer, and somebody on Twitter had guessed it a while back. I didn't want to say anything because you almost ruined it. And
you almost ruined everything.
You almost ruined everything.
And we owe you $20.
Well, I don't owe them $20. I didn't take the betting challenge, but I think they wanted to make sure that they marked. But you know, in the future, if we ever say a special guest and you think you've guessed it, tweet at us. Don't tweet at the special guest because that makes special guest nervous. They're like, wait a second, I thought I was a special guest. You know, because he was doing a show the night before,
right?
And you don't want to cut into your ticket sales, you know, if you're going to do the show the next day.
Yeah.
Now, to be honest with you, I went to his show. It was great. He did stand up. It was great. And the audience, though, was much older than ours. Much older.
Our audience was young and sprightly.
Yeah. I mean, this sounds counterintuitive because I'm so old, but our audience... I mean, I would say something like 75% of our audience is younger, is significantly younger than me.
At least 75%. Yeah.
I'm just going off the YouTube analytics. The audio audience may be a little bit different, but we had a great time. Ted Leo and the band Combat Zone. If you know anything about Boston, you get that. But they were fantastic live versions of La Poupée, Pilot Light, and Pressure Drop.
For people that don't know, we walked out to the band, like, doing the song live, yes, doing the intro song, which was really amazing. Because you can, I mean, they say, you know, audio tracks, you miss so many of the gradations of, like, what live music actually sounds like and all the different layers, and it was just, it's cool. It's
and like, I haven't been hearing a lot of live music this past couple
years. Yeah.
Well, that's true, too. Yeah, I think that's actually the first time I've heard live music in 2 years. Wow.
Wait, now that I think about it, yes. Right.
Yeah, maybe that was part. I mean, I was so excited.
That's why it was so exciting.
Yeah. Natalie Scherer was great. She had a great piece recently in the New Republic about the electoral implications of where we're at this point with Roe v. Wade. Not necessarily the most cheerful of pieces. And we had two activists from Extinction Rebellion up in Boston, which was really inspiring for folks. And we also, I did a debate with a right winger who I think some people in this audience are familiar with.
Hope he's okay.
Well, that was one of the unfortunate things that happened at the end. Maybe we wouldn't even shouldn't talk about that.
Yeah, I think
we might release the video of that, but, we are editing the show as it is now. We had a nice shooter and we're editing the show. And we will, we're going to release that, I think, for members soon. When we do that, I will let you know. So you may want to become a member at jointhemajorityreport.com right now to check all of that out. Ultimately, we'll probably cut it up and put out some of the videos. But to get the full feel of the show, you're going to want to become a member, jointhemajorityreport.com. All right, let's go right into this, this horrible tragedy up in Buffalo. I mean, we've had mass killings now, and they have been, you know, COVID seems to have at least slowed the roll a little bit, but I think things are probably going to start ramping up again and maybe even be worse. And this was not just a random mass killing. This was a hate crime. This was specifically where you had a white 18-year-old. We know the exact age. He's been identified. He's in custody. Targeting black people. And because they're black. And because this guy felt like he got this crazy idea. One wonders where he would have got it, that there is a plan afoot to replace all the white people in this country. Here is the former Buffalo Fire Commissioner, Garnell Whitfield Jr.
But we're not just hurting. We're angry. Yeah. We're mad.
This shouldn't have happened.
No, it shouldn't.
We do our best to be good citizens, to be good people. We believe in God. Yes. We trust Him.
Right.
We treat people with decency.
Yes.
And we love even our enemies.
Yes.
And you expect us to keep doing this over and over and over again.
Over
again. Forgive and forget. While the people we elect and trust in offices around this country do their best not to protect us, not to consider us equal, not to love us back. What are we supposed to do?
I don't have any answers as to that question, rhetorical or not rhetorical question.
And his mother, Ruth, was killed in the shooting, Commissioner Whitfield.
Yeah. There were a lot of, you know, Twitter threads on the victims and, you know, how involved they were in their community and all of the amazing things that they did in the community. He was explicitly committed to the great replacement theory concept in his over, I think, 180-page manifesto, cited it regularly. And Talia...
It opens with talking about how, like, white people need to get their birth rates up. So classic.
Stuff. Classic, right. Talia Levin has this excellent piece in Rolling Stone that I'd encourage everybody to read, just, like, about the Great Replacement Theory. And you might be familiar with it just, you know... listening to the show, but the shooter in Pittsburgh was radicalized by Great Replacement Theory. The shooter in El Paso was radicalized by it. And it's basically the concept that the globalists, which is what mainstream Republicans will call it, or the elites, which is what, you know, someone like Tucker Carlson will call it, it's a stand-in for Jewish people, are manufacturing this replacement of white people in the country, and this demographic shift that you're experiencing, it's not an organic or natural shift or just a change that's happening because changes happen. It's a sinister plot that's being put together by the elites, which basically just means the Jews.
He, according to the Buffalo News, he stated in his manifesto that his goals are to kill as many blacks as possible, avoid dying, and spread ideals. He explains that he targeted the 14208 zip code because it's the area code closest to his home in Conklin, near Binghamton, that has the highest proportion of black residents. He wanted to stay in New York because... with its strict gun laws, he was less likely to encounter someone who could use a high-powered weapon to slow or stop his attack. He also was wearing body armor and tactical gear, brought himself a medical kit. He wanted to find a busy store in a targeted neighborhood, so he chose 4 p.m. on a Friday. In his manifesto, but he ended up going at 2:30 on a Saturday, so it's unclear if he got sort of thwarted the first time. There it is. And, in my mind, everybody who does something like this is mentally and emotionally unstable.
Mm-hmm.
But it really is about, like, the level of ideology that is articulated and the specificity of that ideology. And also, I mean, let's be clear. There's also a specific type of person, ideologically speaking, in this country who is very comfortable gearing up with body armor and having such like weapons fetishization. And, you know, this is not like, there is a culture around all of this.
Yes.
The buffiness. I'm not even talking about the ideology. I'm talking about like the weaponry and the buffiness, because this is not a situation where like some guy gets mad and grabs a knife and goes, this is a mass assault with an attempt to create. I mean, this is definitionally terrorism. There's a lot of times where I think like the word terrorism gets used inappropriately. It ends up being a mechanism in which to increase surveillance that more often than not ends up being used on people with marginalized people in this country. So I'm hesitant to use that word. But when you specifically say, I am going out there to kill a bunch of people specifically to increase awareness of these ideas, I mean, that is what terrorism is.
And the ideas in and of themselves are, like you talked about, just the proclivity for that specific kind of militaristic violence, but the ideology in and of itself is inherently violent. And it's, I mean, there's just more violent, it's inherent to right, to being on the right. I mean, like far right, there's more, it's a more violent ideology than being on the left. And like you're reading these posts, the Substack from Glenn today that I read this morning, unfortunately, and
who's
giving
Glenn.
Yeah, I mean, I guess who cares,
right? But, I mean, honestly, I mean, if you want to bring it up, bring it up, but don't say it just like Glenn. I mean, okay. It's like you want to go through someone's argument, do that, but like we're not on a first name basis, you know? Like,
okay,
I think we got to be specific.
Greenwald, all right, but the right is trying to do this. They're always bringing up the Scalise shooting and other examples, and they're trying to publicly wash their hands of the what's inherent to right-wing ideology. And by flattening it, by pretending that there's a false, that creating a false equivalence with somebody else who might have been radicalized in a different way on the left, and it's trying to shield themselves from scrutiny for someone like Tucker Carlson, who has been dancing around, if not explicitly talking about great replacement theory for months and months.
There is no documented event in history that I'm aware of someone trying to kill people to promote Medicare for all, to promote paid sick leave, to promote to promote choice, frankly. I mean, the closest that we have to anything like that, I think, is, you know, an argument like that author that we had on how to blow up a pipeline, where there is violence and some people argue that violence against property is not violence at all. Even if I stipulate that violence against property is violence, which I'm not so convinced of, but even if I stipulate that, you do not have situations where people are attacked as a way of promoting leftist ideology or even, environmental or which isn't necessarily leftist but is associated, I think, with people center left, at least in this country. It just did not you can't make that analogy. Are there supporters of people on the left who have attacked other people? Of course. Are there fringe members of separatists? But I don't know that you could call that left ideology, frankly. And certainly, we don't have mass media voices who are out there encouraging, let's say, you know, separatism like that brought about the attack that we saw in Brooklyn on the train. Like, where in any published or mass media can you find an individual who is promoting violent separatism in this country. You can't. You can't name that person because the name is not the, you know, that person is not the most popular cable TV show host in the country. That person is not an elected official of the Democratic Party. That person is not a millionaire Substacker. I have no doubt that you could find somebody on YouTube promoting violence in what you could broadly call, just from a cultural standpoint, you know, left. But there's just simply nothing even remotely close.
No militias.
No militias. It just doesn't exist.
It also bears out in the data. Right-wing violence and extremists, plots and attacks, it's exponentially larger than left-wing ones. It's we don't even need to, like, you know, we can just look at the raw numbers.
Let's look at, here's Tucker Carlson. Here is the most popular, most high, well paid, I don't know, cable TV show host in the country.
Dinner guests with the former presidents.
On a regular basis. And probably, yeah, well, former presidents. And here he is. Here's just like a little assembly. This is from Mehdi Hassan's show.
Now, I know that the left and all the little gatekeepers on Twitter become literally hysterical if you use the term replacement, if you suggest that the Democratic Party is trying to replace the current electorate, the voters now casting ballots, with new people, more obedient voters from the third world. But they become hysterical because that's what's happening.
Pause it for one second. Pause it 1 second. First off, he knows that that word replacement specifically means something specific. It means something specific. Whether you are a member of a church or whether you are a member of an organization, you know there are words that are used amongst people that mean something slightly different than what it means when we use it in the vernacular. And when he says replacement, he knows, absolutely knows that he is speaking to white supremacists there. On top of which, what he's saying is also a lie, just even from a vernacular standpoint.
Yeah.
That's what's happening, actually. Let's just say it. That's true. Let's say that again for emphasis, because it is the secret to the entire immigration debate. Demographic change is the key to the Democratic Party's political ambitions. In other words, you're being replaced and there's nothing you can do about it. So shut up. I mean, they're trying to change the population of the United States. And they hate it when you say that because it's true. Our country's being invaded by the rest of the world.
I mean, to state unequivocally, the country's being stolen from American citizens. As we watch,
in political terms, this policy is called the Great Replacement, the replacement of legacy Americans with more obedient people from faraway countries.
Legacy Americans? That is not a concept that we have ever talked about in this country. We've talked about Native Americans in terms of indigenous people, but we've never talked about legacy Americans. These are all white supremacist terminology. When you say the country's being stolen from you, there is no way to justify that. No way, even from the perspective of a white supremacist, because the country's not being stolen. You may be on the wrong end of a political argument as to how many immigrants we allow in the country, but there's no stealing.
But they say this stealing because they're trying to make it a larger malevolent force that's orchestrating this.
Well, listen, if you're being robbed and you're being invaded, how do you respond if you're even a rational person? We're being invaded. We're being robbed.
Castle Doctrine.
I mean, we know what this means.
I was just really quickly reminded of this quote from this former white nationalist who said, "It's really, really alarming that my family watches Tucker Carlson's show once and then watches it on the replay because they feel that he is making the white nationalist talking points better than they have, and they're trying to get some tips on how to advance it." This is a quote from a former white nationalist from 2 years ago in 2019. Oh, but yeah, that's exactly what it is. So when he says replace, he knows exactly what he's evoking.
He literally had to fire a fascist from his writing staff.
Right.
Because that guy was posting on those boards and saying, "Hey, guys, I got this in tonight. This is getting on. So proud of myself. I'm so proud of myself." Here is clip number three. This is Tucker Carlson addressing the Buffalo shooting, which, you know, look, he doesn't care. He doesn't care. I mean, he is got one mission, and that is how to increase his ratings. And the way that Fox actually became successful after like a decade of being run at an operating deficit. People forget that Murdoch poured a tremendous amount of money into Fox News for over an extended period of time. But the commercial pitch to Fox was, we are an alternative to the liberal media. This was going on in the late 90s, even but it took a while for the conservative movement to create that sort of like sense of aggrievement around the media. And it was partly driven by talk radio. They wanted to claim that they were, you know, the only outlet for this because you're being denied a hearing on the, you know, CBS or NBC. There was no MSNBC at this time, or to the extent that it was Scarborough and Tucker Carlson, to be clear, and Pat Buchanan. There was never any liberal media even remotely close to Fox. And Tucker's doing the same thing. He is going to an underserved community, one that doesn't have an outlet on mass media that is white supremacist,
Klans folk,
racist,
been waiting to be spoken for,
soon to be white supremacist, racist, vaguely racist, just in any way aggrieved. And so he knows exactly what he's doing. So it's interesting to see how he tries to, wiggle out of this. And of course, it is to blame it on the Democrats.
What sort of person uses mass murder as an excuse to give a campaign speech or seize more political power? We'll find out tomorrow.
Pause Joe it. Biden pause it. To this. Well, I'm old enough to remember 9/11. And I'm old enough to remember that's exactly what George Bush did, and that's what the Republican Party did. And I'm old enough to remember that he, Tucker Carlson, was cheering this on CNN.
The first argument to any sort of mass killing is like, why are you recognizing that it happened?
Right, exactly. Why are you even questioning the underpinnings of this existing? Why aren't you just, I don't know, treating the dead?
Writing it off as a lone wolf and moving on.
Joe Biden travels to the scene of this atrocity in Buffalo to speak to the country. We haven't seen an advanced copy of his remarks, but we can guess what we will hear. Biden's approval rating appears to be the lowest ever recorded for a president this century, lower than Donald Trump's. That is a disaster for his party. The Democratic Party will suffer for this in this fall's elections. Biden still has time to change course and fix it. He could try to improve the lives of voters who are dissatisfied with him. That is entirely possible. That's what politicians typically do when they're down. They listen to the people who might reelect them. But Biden doesn't plan to do that, and we know for a fact because Politico has reported it. Instead, Biden has decided to attack people who disapprove. According to Politico, quote, Biden has taken to telling his aides that he no longer recognizes the GOP, which he now views as an existential threat to the nation's democracy, end quote. People who disagree with Joe Biden, according to Joe Biden, are now a, quote, existential threat to the nation, like Al-Qaeda or climate change. a threat that by definition is so profound we must declare war upon it if we're to survive. Now, keep in mind this threat that Biden is referring to is you. He's talking about his fellow Americans. No president has ever spoken like this, ever. Joe Biden does it regularly, and he's certain to do it again tomorrow. But most painful and destructive of all, Biden is likely to use racial wounds in order to make his point. There is no behavior worse than this. All race politics
just
is
be,
bad.
A couple of things that we just should note here. First of all, Donald Trump said, I mean, so many things publicly about Democrats. And frankly, I don't care. I mean, why would any Jews vote for Democrats now?
Yeah.
I just, you know, I don't know. There's so much.
And the unseemliness of using tragedies. Trump had an entire, like, government agency about, like, crimes committed by immigrants.
Yes. It's absurd. But also, there's no worse thing that one can do than to exploit these. What about the actual racist shooting that took place? That's not worse. That seems like that would be worse. There's no worse thing you can do than address that type of racial hatred geared towards people. And the idea that he's talking about you, well, are those people the insurrectionists? Are those people? We know all the audio of what the Republicans said the day after January 6th. We know what the leadership was saying. We literally have audio of it. And they all have reversed themselves. We know that in states like Michigan, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, I mean, the Republican Party is trying to get election officials in who specifically have already committed to overturning election results. I mean, this is low-hanging fruit. And the fact that it's taken Joe Biden this long is a little bit disturbing, frankly.
Well, I'd love to see if it, like, manifests itself in his actions.
Well, it might, but it's a little bit late. Like, you should have recognized this maybe a year ago.
Before inviting Republicans in to negotiate on Build Back Better, for example, infrastructure.
Yeah, before saying that I have partners. I mean, even when he said, like, 6 months after Trump is gone, they're going to revert back to normal. It's like, well, wait a second. Trump wasn't president when Mitch McConnell was saying your administration's not going to get even a hearing about the Supreme Court justice. I mean, but all right, continue.
Biden is likely to use racial wounds in order to make his point. There is no behavior worse than this.
Pause it. Just again, just contemplate this. The actual creation of the racial wounds in the form of shooting 10 people dead because they're black. Not worse behavior than coming and addressing that has just happened. Like, you gotta, like, every word that comes out of this incredibly inhuman, pathological, sociopathic guy, Tucker, you've got to listen to carefully. Yeah. Because these are being absorbed by millions of people.
Recognition
17,
of
18-year-old kids.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this kid.
Right.
This kid.
And
recognition of the act is worse than the act itself.
And I mean, just to say, like, this stuff is scripted out by writers. And the previous person, Blake Neff, responded to a thread with the subject line, "Would you let a jet black Congo N-word do LASIK eye surgery on you for 50% off?" So that's the type of person that Tucker Carlson has writing this stuff.
Continue.
Or to make his point. There is no behavior worse than this. All race politics is bad, no matter what flavor those politics happen to be. No race politics is better than any other. All of it is poison.
Pause it.
Race politics.
No race. Shooting 10 people because they're black. That race politics. Or disenfranchising black people, keeping them from voting. Or setting up laws that necessarily disadvantage brown people, or pulling kids from their parents because they're brown. Those politics are no different than going to Buffalo and just assuming that Tucker's, you know, straw speech is correct, going out and saying we need to, I don't know what, have equality or protection or get rid of white supremacy.
Yeah.
I mean, those are the same things.
Even talking about racism is the same as the racism.
There's good.
Diagnosing the racism is the same as the racist act.
There's good people on both sides and bad people on both sides.
Than any other. All of it is poison. Race politics subsumes the individual into the group. It erases people. It dehumanizes them. Race politics elevates appearance over initiative and decency and all the other God-given qualities that makes every person of every color unique, yet morally...
God-given. Republicans would never put someone's appearance over their humanity. Trump never made fun of anyone's physical appearance. We're just putting that aside, but keep going.
Equal to every other person. And above all, race politics always makes us hate each other, and always in a very predictable way. So let's say you were to make identity politics mandatory in your country, as they have. How could you be surprised when that leads, as it inevitably will, to white identity politics? Well, you could not be surprised.
I mean, sorry, but like white identity politics is the original identity politics.
Exactly. This country has white identity politics. When you decide that slavery, you're going to impose slavery, you're going to own people, but it's not going to be, we can't own people. We're owning black people. That's when white identity politics starts to be created in this country. And it becomes so dominant and the norm that no one acknowledges that it's white identity politics. It's just normal politics. That race is not introduced. And this is the entire argument of the Republican Party, the conservative movement. Race is only introduced when someone non-white starts to say, hey, wait a second. We've been denied everything that white people have. Now, that's not to say that every white person has gotten these things. And in fact, more often than not, when white people have been denied them, it has been like you're caught in the same net, dolphins, they get caught in the net with the when they're going to tuna fishing. I mean, we just look back to Reconstruction, look back to the assault on the ability of people to vote. They have no problem canceling out poor white people's votes. But it is really, I mean, the name of the game was to get rid of black people's votes at that time.
And like, this is what he's exemplifying here is what I think I talked about it last week, the look what you made me do dynamic on the right. The fact that you're calling attention to racism, that's race politics, and that's fundamentally the same as the white supremacist ideology that I wink and a nod and support on my program. And so if you're going to keep pushing for progress, you're going to make people resentful and they're going to push back on you, and that's going to be righteous. That's what he's saying. It's abuser logic, and it's inherent to right-wing reactionary ideology.
It naturalizes white male suffrage and the European-only immigration that we had for so long as like what we should be doing, and any sort of move away from that, which was a white supremacist policy, is, you know, identity politics that is, you know, trying to, I mean, that's what they miss, is they miss European only immigration codes and, you know, white male suffrage.
And you can go across the board with this type of dynamic. I mean, what is the name of the movement that wants to empower men in our society so that they can earn and as much as they can, and they have a full complement of rights where they, you know, they could own their own credit cards, where they would keep their own last name. They would make decisions about, you know, whether they're going to use birth control or not, whether they can have any family planning. What is the name of that? The opposite of feminism, or the feminism for men, is called society in our society. That's what it's called. Because that's the way the society was launched. Those rights existed on day one. And so they get to define anything else as special interests or as identity politics when it is people who are not their identity calling attention to the fact that because of my identity, I have been excluded from these things in society. This is just the pure reactionary mind. And every time they go back and try and maintain that hierarchy, they're doing it in a new hip way. And we're going, you know.
How could you be surprised when that leads, as it inevitably will, to white identity politics? Well, you could not be surprised. You did it, and it was always going to happen. And then what happens next? Nothing good. Race politics is a sin. Race politics always leads to violence and death. They learned that lesson in Rwanda in 1994. Identity politics ended in genocide in Rwanda that killed 800,000 people.
He brings up this example all the time.
And in response to those horrors, the Rwandans did something that we might learn from. They moved in the opposite direction from the one that Joe Biden is currently taking in the United States. Quote, ethnicity has already been stripped out of school books and rubbed off government identity cards, reported the New York Times. Government documents no longer mention Hutu or Tutsi, and the country's newspapers and radio stations steer clear of the labels as well. Most
tightly controlled by the government, he took that out. He took that out when he read it. Did you notice that? Go back. He took that out. Yeah. Yeah.
Ethnicity has already been stripped out of school books and rubbed off government identity cards, reported the New York Times. Government documents no longer mention Hutu or Tutsi, and the country's newspapers and radio stations steer clear of the labels as well. Most dramatic is how Rwanda's 8 million people now shun the identifications, the racial identifications, that seemed to loom so large 10 years ago as Hutu extremists began their mass killings, end quote.
Actually is more of a, I would say, religious than racial identifications.
A colorblind meritocracy, he writes.
Tribal configurations more than racial ones. And we should say that, like, you know, this idea that that Joe Biden's invented white identity politics and that can only lead to violence. You would have to be unaware of slavery, all of the violence committed during slavery. You'd have to be unaware of the Civil War. You'd have to be unaware of the bloody coups that took place under Reconstruction, the lynchings that followed, or continued throughout, I should probably say, but maintained lynches into the early 20s. Then you'd have to be unaware of all of the killings, just the one that took place in Georgia. Most prominently, you'd have to be unaware of all the police killings of unarmed black people. You'd have to be unaware of almost every single year, month of American history that has ever taken place to say, whoa, this white identity politics is here because people are being so aware of race.
You'd have to be unaware of Jesse Helms, for instance.
You have to be unaware. Like, literally, there's an example every day. But to be fair, like, in terms of a national example, you'd have to be aware every month, let's say.
Before you put that up, can we just it's fine. The Chiron is called a colorblind meritocracy there. Right? Like this is the way that all reactionary right-wingers sell their ideology to society is they pretend like that they are the ones that are the apolitical, colorblind, rational ones, as opposed to the radical people calling for the rights of those other folks. And he literally said in that segment, you did it. You did it. Did you hear that? Yep. Did you catch him say that? He's blaming anybody that's calling for equality and for improvement of people's rights. He's blaming them. And it's victim blaming, but to the max. You can put that up now.
I don't have a big enough one, but in his yearbook, he said he's a member of the Jesse Helms Society. So I think Tucker is aware of white identity politics.
Emphasized race in Rwanda intentionally and systematically. Rwandan citizens are citizens first, members of racial or tribal groups second or not at all. Result? There have been no more genocides in Rwanda. And that could easily be the path forward for this country, too. There is only one answer to rising racial tension, and that's to de-escalate and do what we have done and tried to do for hundreds of years, which is work toward colorblind meritocracy and treat people as human beings created by God rather than as faceless members of interest groups that might benefit some political party or other. We have a moral duty to do this because all people have equal moral value, no matter what they look like. All lives matter, period. That's not the determination of the U.S. government. That's the determination of God. And it's true. And most Americans already believe it. They would like to see a return to the American way of life. And the American way of life is meritocracy. Judge me by what I do, not by how I look. By the content.
Pause it. What day in this country's history was that an example of the American way of life? We're meritocracy. This motherfucker, he got every single thing he got from the first Swiss boarding school he went to the next boarding school he went to in Newport, Rhode Island, to his girlfriend's dad who got him into Trinity, and his parents who gave the topped out and the top tier of money given to Trinity, to his connections via his dad, who was a Republican operative. This guy got it not based on merit. What day, but putting him aside, what day as a system in this country has American life been a meritocracy? What day?
He was literally a few weeks ago calling for the LSAT scores of Ketanji Brown Jackson and claiming that her nomination to the court was, like, I don't know, somehow a violation of that meritocracy, as he has the background that Sam describes.
And also as the other Supreme Court justices to compare to. But what day in this country's history? You tell me what day in this country's history there was a meritocracy where race or money of the individual or the family did not implicate the success of an individual in this country? What day? Give me one day. This mythical American life, return to American way of life.
It helps Great Replacement because then it naturalizes our racial hierarchy. That's what it is.
Well, you're right. Exactly. It looks like any sort of like a wage or race or gender gap. And it says, well, we have a meritocracy and we did all that stuff for your civil rights way back, you know, in the olden days. So now it's up to you. And it's clearly a inborn sort of limitation on you. So,
yep.
Like, yeah, exactly. It's and Charles the other thing Martin. He does is when he mentioned this Rwanda example, it's a little bit of a domestic genocide denial by keep going there, because I mean, I know he likes it as like a recent historical thing, but he acts like you have to go to Africa to get some kind of genocide. And maybe a genocide could happen here if we go down this wrong path of wokeness. It's like, bro, we're surrounded by genocide this country.
Yep.
Character, not the color of my skin. We have a monument on the Mall to this. And yet suddenly every voice in power is leading us in the opposite direction. And what's the terminus of that journey? It's destruction. Everybody knows this. Only our leaders stand in the way of fixing a problem that is growing worse by the day.
There you go. And what is the problem again? On the day after 10 people have been shot because they're black, explicitly shot because they're black, what is the problem? Our leaders are talking about, addressing it.
It's just going to make it worse. Addressing it is going to make it worse.
Yeah, I can't do the, I wish Michael was here, because I can't do the MLK impression where it's like, don't mention race.
Stop talking about it.
These guys.
You're just
goading them on.
Talk about meritocracy.
Let the white man feel more comfortable. Stop.
This is your fault.
Special interest.
You did this.
You're all a special interest. We're blowing off that ad today. We'll do it another day. It's not the day for that.
Can't believe we went the full hour on that. I guess I can. I mean, Tucker Carlson's going to be front-facing for this. And, like, you know, did we expect him to take any responsibility?
No.
I mean, please.
But also, let me just, while we're here. It's one thing to say that the guy who has been associated with Republican politics his whole life, his father's a Republican operative, who dines with Republican presidents, who advises sitting Republican presidents, who has the highest rated show on the on cable news, a conservative Republican network, almost indistinguishable as a media outlet for the Republican Party. It's one thing to say there is no analog to any violence that takes place from so-called leftists where they have that type of institutional support. But he's, again, it's not like he's a Republican elected official. It's not like he's Steve Scalise, who is the number two Republican who once walked into a room and said, I'm David Duke without the luggage or baggage. And it's also not like he's the number three House Republican, Elise Stefanik, who has promoted replacement theory as well.
Well, we got to be fair to her, right? She must have an explanation for it. Maybe she didn't mean to explicitly promote replacement theory, although...
Radical Democrats are planning their most aggressive move yet, a permanent election insurrection. What is a permanent election insurrection? Now, let's just be clear here so that you can just see, I mean, because I know some of this is a little bit remedial. But an election insurrection is when the election is over and you're attempting to overturn the results of an election. It's not
like coercing the
it's not getting more voters to vote in a certain way. That's called an election.
Preemptive insurrection.
Their plan, grant amnesty to 11 million illegal immigrants. Also, you should know, the greatest one-time amnesty that was ever granted in this country's history was done by Ronald Reagan. Until Donald Trump, the most popular Republican president amongst Republicans in the history of the country. Just to say, like, you know, the theory that granting amnesty would necessarily be something that was contrary to the interests of Republican Party or Democratic Party over Republicans. Now, putting that aside, there is, sadly, in my estimation, no plans whatsoever to grant 11 million people amnesty. So that's also a lie. But even if it wasn't. Continue. Oh, I'm sorry. Grant amnesty to 11 million illegal immigrants will overthrow our current electorate. Now, what is it like? These words are not. They are misusing these words. There is no way when you talk about adding immigrants into this country that you're overthrowing an electorate. You can't overthrow an electorate. That word does not make sense in that sentence. It is a conscious attempt to mimic the construction of the idea of the great replacement theory. That's what it is. That it is a conscious attempt to do that. Overthrow our current electorate. In other words, replace our current electorate and create a permanent liberal majority in Washington. She is saying this is the great replacement theory. And she is the number three Republican in the Republican Party in terms of elected leaders, at least in the House. And then we should also add, just 4 days ago, just to give you a sense of like what the sort of like where we're at with the Republican Party.
And that quest for a strong, sensible Republican Party of yesteryear.
Right. And she was the great white hope, too, for that, right? When she first came in. That was like her whole thing. Wasn't she anti-Trump?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She was like a moderate, like problem solver-ish person initially. Yeah.
Well, to be fair, that was almost 4 whole years ago. And with adults, anything could happen over the course of 4 years. My 9-year-old son is similar to where he was when he was 5 than when she was 4 years ago. The White House, she tweets, House Dems and usual pedo grifters are so out of touch with the American people that rather than present any plan or urgency to address the nationwide baby formula crisis, they doubled down on sending pallets of formula to the southern border. Joe Biden has no plan. The White House, House Democrats, and usual pedo grifters. Now, they're out of touch with Americans. They don't present any plan. So we know that these pedo grifters are supposed to present a plan and have urgency to address the nationwide baby formula crisis. She is talking about Democratic, maybe lawmakers, maybe policy people. Who else would you expect to do that? Who is she talking to? Who is she talking to? And let's find out who she's talking about. We have an explanation from her. Who is it? What is the name?
So this is an audio posted by Parker Malloy of a journalist calling one of her staffers, and her staffer tries to give an explanation here.
So she tweeted again. She said, the White House, House Dems, and usual pedo grifters. Now, you know, you sort of start the conversation pretty bad when you say the White House, House Dems, and usual pedo grifters. Who are the usual pedo grifters?
So I don't mean to cut you off. I want to, because we've got a few phone calls about this. First off, this is her personal Twitter. Just have to note that. And number two,
Pause it. This is her personal Twitter? What the F?
They're
is
meaning
that
supposed to... it was not tweeted from like the representative Stefanik account. It was just her like regular blog.
She's Sam's mom, and she's also the congresswoman from New York 21.
Yeah.
And the House GOP conference chair. Oh, and new ideas, new generation of leadership, real results electing GOP women. I'm just like, that's what's on her personal thing. This is not like her sock puppet account. Like, it's Bill 4, 5, 7, 8, 9.
She has 500,000 followers. That is because of her elected office.
Yeah. It's not because of Sam's mom? Okay.
First off, this is her personal Twitter. Just have to note that. And number two, pedo is not short for pedophile. It is pedo as in children. Pedo is a... If you look it up on Google,
I know what the word means.
Exactly defines to child.
So these are people who are grifting children? How are they grifting children? Or are they children who are grifting?
No, not children who are grifting. People are grifting on behalf of children.
They're grifting on behalf of children. And she thought that
the
way to say that people who are grifting on behalf of
children. Pause it.
How does one grift on behalf of
children?
Let's go
back to the original tweet.
Right.
What does it mean to grift on behalf of children? Do we have that video? I think we may have figured out who's grifting on behalf of children. We did some research. This is the guy.
Project Veritas footage.
This is Project Veritas. We sent in someone to go and talk to a guy known as the Artful Dodger, who apparently does some grifting on behalf of children. Play this.
acting out among me more intimate friends is the Artful Dodger.
Pleased to meet you, Mr. Dodger. Show the old gentleman what mine.
Right.
Yeah, there we go. All right, now we've got it.
I'm glad.
Man, that, I just want, I'm trying to come out.
I'm this glad Stefanik is
that's
finally,
a pedo grifter.
Yeah, but going after this crook.
This grifter on behalf of children, again, in the original tweet, we're to believe, is supposed to come up with a plan to address baby formula.
No, just, she's just targeting dance moms.
It is a little bit more.
I wonder, you go back and check with all the babies. Like you're reporting back to Boss Baby. We're running the grift. I can't, let's keep playing the audio. This is absurd.
How are they grifting children? Or are they children who are grifting?
No, not children who are grifting. So saying that people are grifting on behalf of children.
They're grifting on behalf of children. And she thought that
the
way to say that people who are grifting on behalf of children, I don't really understand who's grifting? How is there a grift involved in any of this? Like, what's the grift here?
Well, I really can't analyze it for you just because I haven't gotten a statement on it. Again, this is her personal Twitter account. Sure. I'm just giving you the definitions because we've received a lot of calls for clarification. I'm just kind of clarifying what that means.
That's
yeah. How Elise Stefanik could be allowed onto a news program where the interviewer doesn't start with like, I've got to ask you this because there's never been an actual explanation. Can you explain to me again the grifting on behalf of children? Or what has she said now? Have they come out with a correction on this?
Now they say it was talking about pedophile grifters, specifically the guy with the Lincoln Project that got into trouble.
So now they're saying the Lincoln Project. Okay, that makes much more sense. Put
can
up
we,
the original
yeah,
tweet
put the quote
and
up.
let's figure this out. We'll substitute the White House, House Democrats, and that guy from the Lincoln Project are so out of touch with the American people that rather than present any plan, the White House, House Democrats, and the guy from the Lincoln Project, or the urgency to address the nationwide baby formula crisis, which is, of course, the job of the White House, House Dems, and the guy from the Lincoln Project, they double down on sending pallets of formula to the southern border, which, of course, the White House, the House Democrats, and the guy from the Lincoln Project did. They sent down those pallets. Is that what we're supposed to believe? Is that what we're supposed to believe? I mean,
seems like a bit of a stretch. Seems like she might just be smearing all of her political opponents as pedo-grifters.
Yes, that seems to be the more likely explanation.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. And that reminds me of the time that Tucker Carlson said just, 25 minutes ago when we played that clip on this, that the idea of an elected official saying that they see Republicans as being a threat to democracy is the worst pronouncement we've ever heard by a politician.
Rwanda all over again.
As opposed to calling them pedo grifters, which incidentally should not be heard in a vacuum, but rather as the animating villains of the base of the Republican Party, starting with Pizzagate, which took place 5 years ago, through the entire QAnon. So this is not just like,
they tested that on the state level. They tested that with the Michigan State Senator Mallory McMorrow. That was the state representative was fundraising, calling her, a pedophile or pedophile adjacent.
A groomer.
Right, yeah. A groomer. I mean, they've been doing this on the state level, and she wants a little bit of that. She wants to borrow a bit from it, and then she got called out. That's what it is.
All right, we're gonna take a break and head to the fun half. In the fun half, we will talk about baby formula.
Okay.
Reminder, it's your support that makes this show possible. You can become a member by going to jointhemajorityreport.com. We are relying on our members for 8.7% of our revenue these days. Maybe 97.8. I get those two mixed up. But your support makes this show possible. Also, we're going to have the live show, and we're gonna give it to members first. Maybe the only way that you can consume it as a full show. Not sure yet. We're still in the midst of high-level negotiations with all the pedo grifters that we have to that are in charge of this.
You mean the guy from the Lincoln Project?
The ones that are working on behalf of children.
The ones that are working on behalf of right. children.
The Artful Dodger.
The Artful Dodger. I've got to go. I've got to contact him. I think he's probably passed away by now, that dude.
It could also be in reverse. Grifters who are grifting off children for their own profiles, like Mama June. You don't know who that is.
Mama June? I don't know who that
it's,
is.
It's Honey Boo Boo's mom.
Oh, yeah.
See, I'm pulling out the old reality TV references.
And we'll talk a little bit about the live show. It was really fun as well. We still have more to talk about that. Matt, what's happening on the Matt Leckie and Media Universe?
Oh, yeah. Go check out the think tank, patreon.com/leftreckoning. David and I did our May think tank, in which we talked about, among other things, Stephen Crowder trying to own this baby formula issue by saying it's all the problem of the government regulating too much, causing monopolies.
Well, I mean, it is
arguably capture.
It is a problem of the government regulating too much, saying we don't want bacteria that has already killed two babies in this country to go out. But the monopoly part is actually what they should be working on, the government.
Right. And it's very interesting to see how these guys, we've talked about like the vibe shift. No longer can you just be free market libertarian anymore. You have to say like, well, I'm against these big corporations too. Like, I can't fully defend Abbott, but the government made them do this. Basically.
Right. Well, yeah. That seems to be a good formula.
No
yes,
pun intended.
Shooting up people because they're black is wrong. But really, Joe Biden made them do it because they were talking about, you know, college debt is held by a lot of black people. I don't know exactly what it was.
The entire KBJ nomination in and of itself was.
Well, you know, you elect a black president, and then what do you expect? All right. You're really trying to do the special interest thing. All right, do we have Nomi? Let's let her in.
Hello.
Nomi!
Hello.
What's up?
You gotta
congratulations
tell us about the maps,
on a great
too.
Event.
The
what?
Thank you. The map.
Oh, the maps. Oh my gosh, so much news. First off, who was the special guest at the live show? You guys were teasing this out and no one would tell me. I couldn't even find out.
It was Al Franken.
Oh, that's good. Damn. Yes. Damn. Yes. Your sister wouldn't even tell me. Like, I...
Nope.
You run a tight operation, man.
Oh yeah, no, we had to keep it way under wraps. My dad knew, but he says to me because he went and I had some other people because you know well, Boston. I have a lot of people in the Boston area. He's like, I haven't told anybody. I'm like, good. Yeah, why would you?
That's awesome.
They're not. I mean, supposedly they're coming to see me. Like,
told
why?
Pac-Man.
Yeah.
That would have been.
Oh yeah,
sabotage.
No, he told really Pac-Man. Of course he did. My father calls up Pac-Man, sends him secret messages. Sam just told me he's buying a new microphone. They're going to go live Tuesday night for the primaries, Dave. I just thought you might be helpful for you to know that.
Yeah, they're going at 7. You might want to go at 6:30.
Exactly.
Really healthy relationship.
Did your dad give Pac-Man the panel designs?
Oh, my God.
Exactly.
I saw
he gave them the physical panels.
My dad was like, hey, send me a picture of what you're planning to do for your backdrop. And I'm like, why? And he goes, I'm just curious. Can you send it in a zip file, too, so that I can? Yeah, that's great. I just want to. And then he forwarded it on to Pac-Man. Yeah, that's the way it works.
It's David.
Nomi, what's happening in your show?
CIA David is what I like to call him. what's happening on my show? So tomorrow, Wednesday. We it's called Solidarity Wednesday. We have Ben Dixon on every week, and then I go on his show in the morning. We talk about what it means to be a good ally and talking about different communities. We also have Dr. Eric Osgood on to talk about long COVID. He's answering your questions. So if you have questions, send them over to us at thenomikishow@gmail.com. He not only is he answering the questions, I have a friend whose mother has long COVID. It was very serious. She went to so many different doctors, couldn't figure things out. It was, she had a like early onset dementia as a result. And Dr. Osgood has helped her out drastically. So he knows what he's talking about. He's running this program with some other doctors, doing great work. And then we had Julia Doubleday on, and we're going to talk about the Buffalo shootings, some electoral stuff, the maps, which is really...
Oh, let's get into that.
Oh boy.
In the fun half. No, I mean,
it's fun, guys. Thoughts. Real fun. No one knows who's going to represent them, what district you're in. If you thought you were safe in New York, the Republicans, even though they don't really exist, are still coming for you.
So it's what? The primary is now August 23rd?
Yep. So the two different. Okay. Remember before when we.
Well, let's save this for the fun half.
Okay.
Let's save this for the
fun. You got to pay for it, guys. Sorry.
I thought that would be a simple answer, but it sounds like it's not.
Not.
All right. Let's head into the fun half. We will take your IMs, maybe your calls. Oh, and just a reminder, if you're watching on YouTube and you want to watch live, the link will be in the description. It should also just automatically fill your YouTube thing. If you're a member and you want to watch on your Roku, the way to do it is to go into your YouTube app. To log in to the majority .fm site, go onto your YouTube app and click the link in the majority.fm post. Just get it on your YouTube app, and then it will populate in your Roku.
History.
In your history. All right. See you in the fun half. 3 months from now, 6 months from now, 9 months from now, and I don't think it's going to be the same as it looks like in 6 months from now, and I don't know if it's necessarily going to be better 6 months from now than it is 3 months from now, but I think around 18 months out, we're going to look back and go like, wow.
What? What is that going on?
It's nuts.
Wait a second. Hold on for a second. Emma, welcome to the program.
Hey.
Matt.
Who? Fun. What is up, everyone? Fun.
Nomi Key.
You did it. Fun.
Let's go,
Brandon. Fun.
Bradley, you want to say hello?
Sorry to disappoint everyone. I'm just a random guy.
It's all the boys today.
Fundamentally false.
No, I'm sorry. Women's...
Stop talking for a second. Now let me finish.
Where is this coming from, dude?
But dude, you want to smoke this 7-8?
Yes.
Hi, me? You safe?
Yes.
Is this me?
Is it me?
It is you.
Is this me? Hello, is this me?
I think it is you. Who is you? No sound. Every single freaking day. What's on your mind?
Sports. We can discuss free markets and we can discuss capitalism.
I'm going to go for a walk.
Who libertarians?
They're so stupid though. Common sense says of course.
Gobbledygook.
We fucking nailed him!
So what's 79 plus 21?
Challenge men.
I'm positively quivering.
I believe 96, I want to say.
857-210-3501. One half. 3/8.
9/11, for instance.
$3,400. $1,900.
$5.43 trillion.
Sold.
It's a zero-sum game.
Actually, you're making me think less.
But let me say this.
Poop.
You call it satire. Sam goes with satire.
On top of it all, my favorite part about you is just like every day, all day, like everything you do.
Without a doubt. Hey, buddy, we see you. All right, folks.
It's just the week being weeded out, obviously.
Yeah, Sundial Guns out.
I don't know.
But you should know.
People just don't like to entertain ideas anymore.
I have a question. Who cares?
Our chat is enabled, folks.
I love it.
I do love that.
Look, gotta jump. Gotta be quick. I gotta jump.
I'm losing it, bro.
2 o'clock. We're already late, and the guy's being a dick. So screw him. Sent to a gulag?
Outrageous.
Like, what is wrong with you?
Love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye-bye.